The Old Testament reading today is from the is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. It is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall no longer fear or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
The New Testament reading today comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 20. Hear the words of the Lord. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints of the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, here's what I want to tell you. I think I might have already told you this probably 15 times, but you know, 16 is good. One of my all-time favorite movies is The Princess Bride. In The Princess Bride, we have this whole story that's like the knights and the princess in distress, and there are sword fights, and there's kissing, you know, because, you know, it's that kind of book. I like it a lot. In the midst of the story, as they're trying to save him, one of his entourage is asked, so what in the world is going on? And he says, nope, let me explain. And here we go. Oh, there's no time, so let me just sum up. Get it? Let me just sum it up. Let me take this whole big story of Jesus Christ and let me sum up for you exactly what is happening. Paul is in prison, and he says, he reminds us that he has a fellow prisoner. And Paul reminds us to remember my chains. So we have this lesson in Colossians. It really comes down to two separate stories. The first part, The first part is verses 11 through 14. And then the second one is 15 through 20. It's two separate parts. But in those two parts, we learn all about who Jesus is or Jesus could be. Now, I don't know about you, but as I read it, I kind of get befuddled and lost in the midst of the story. And so I think it's important for us to remember that this is where it is. And if we have to take it piece by piece, let's do that. However, today, we're going to look at both parts. The first one, verses 11 through 14. We find out that Jesus brings strength and endurance and patience. Strength, endurance, and patience. When you think about your own life and you think about where you've been and what you're doing and what you think, do you find that in yourself? There are days when I do feel strong, but there are lots of days when I sure don't. There are days when I think I can do almost anything. I can make it. I can keep going. But there are days when I don't. And there are days when I think I have the patience that God gives me every single day, and I will never get upset about anything. I will always just be patient. And then I get in traffic and somebody runs a light and I have to stop. Did they think about me? Did they think about me? Well, I can tell you that at times when my mind is not on my driving and I do that, my first thought isn't about how I inconvenienced others. That's a thought that comes. But my first thought is, I'm so glad I'm okay. In Colossians, Paul, who is in prison, is trying to help the people understand. I can't be there every single day with you because, you know, I'm in prison. But let me give you these words that you can remember. You can remember that God has helped us. God's strength and endurance and patience are total and complete, and they are every kind of strength and endurance and patience. It's not one or the other, it's both and. And in this case, we know that if God has given us the ability to keep going, the ability to speak for God, the ability to act for God, no matter what, then God will sustain us. Because remember, this was written after Jesus was crucified. Let's remember that we are working on behalf of Christ. We're working to remind people of the redemption and forgiveness that God gives us. It's not just that we have eternal life, although wouldn't that be in plenty? If I just had that, that'd be enough. But God says, Jesus came to show us that it's not just eternal life, but it's a new way of life. Here and now. That God gives us the strength to take on a completely new way of life. That was the whole purpose of Jesus coming to this earth, to show us how to live, to show us how to love, to show us how to spread the love of God. I like that. It's not just about our eternal life eventually, although I'm not saying that that's not important. Please hear me. But it's also about a new way of living right now, today. Sometimes I forget that part. Do you? Sometimes I get it kind of into my head and I get into my own little selfishness and I forget that part, that Christ's work on our behalf is for eternity and also now. Christ also came not to just give us a release and say, okay, blessings on you all. Your sins have been forgiven. There you go. That's the beginning. That's just the beginning. And again, sometimes I forget. I hang on to that beginning and I don't go any farther. It's not just the release of our sins, but Jesus came to give us a new self-image so that when we look into the mirror, and I apologize if it's painful for me many, many days, especially early in the morning, it's painful for me to look in the mirror. But when we look in the mirror, we don't just see ourselves, but we see a new image, or we should. Maybe it's the way that our eyes sparkle thinking about the day to begin. Maybe it's the way that we feel, that our face feels at the end of the day, because something amazing reminded us of the love of God. Whatever that is, that we have this new image, and then Jesus doesn't just want us to have a new image, but wants our actions to match. As I read scripture, I truly believe that what God wants for me every single day is to be just a little bit more like Jesus today than I was yesterday. When I taught school, I know I never mentioned that, but I did teach school. When I taught school, I loved the beginning of the year. It was so exciting, and I always wished that I had taken notes about the kids that seemed shy, taken notes about the kids. I wish I had, because at the end of the school year, every single year, those kiddos were not the same as when they came in. If they were, well, I probably would have lost my teaching job right away. Well, maybe not, because when I was a teacher, there was a huge teacher shortage. So, you know, I could pretty much keep my job. But if my kids had not grown, and I don't mean just physically, but grown emotionally and mentally, and whatever their spiritual life was like, then I probably didn't do my job very well. And I think one of the things that Christ is telling us, that Paul is reminding us, is that every day we get a new chance. If I go to bed at the end of the night and I'm remembering all the horrible things I said, even if I didn't say them out loud, but I said them in my head and it went to my heart, God doesn't say, you know what, I've given you 8,000 chances, now we're done. I don't believe God says that, because God created us. Jesus came to this earth to teach us by his life. And I believe God says, okay, Laura, tomorrow's a new day. We'll try again tomorrow. God says that not just to me, because I'm the least of the least, I promise you. But God says that to every single one of us. And I think what God is trying to do, what Jesus came to show us, is that we don't have to live in that muck that we created on this day. Tomorrow is a new day. And those verses 11 through 14 remind us. God created us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, which is awesome. But this last part, the forgiveness of sins. Each and every day, a brand new day. Then we come to that next big chunk, verses 15 through 20. And we're reminded that all things are created in and through and for Christ. I get so confused sometimes because I think I'm living for myself. I think that I have, that there are times when I want to put myself first. And verses 15 through 20 remind us that we're created for Christ. We're created to use the example that Jesus showed us when he lived on this earth. We're created to remember those examples and each day get a little bit closer and a little bit closer. Oh, we're going to have days when we may move back. And if you're anything like me, you may have days when you move back, oh, maybe a long way. But the great news is that God doesn't give up on us. Jesus does not give up on us. Jesus just reminds us. In Christ, not only do we see the fullness of God, we see all the fullness of the world and the earth. It's not just this little tiny part that I want to keep to myself and I want to hide in my heart and remember that Jesus loves me no matter what. Oh, that's important. That is so important, because if I forget that Jesus loves me, that song I learned when I was probably 3 or 4 years old, Jesus loves me, this I know. It starts there. And then we're reminded Christ is the King, not only because of the love, but because all things can be reconciled through Christ with God. So we have power and life and faith and hope and love. As Paul sits in prison, a person who was condemned through no fault of his own, but through the fear of those in power in the land. As Paul sat in prison, he was able to say, "For in Christ all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross." You see, in 15 through 20, we kind of get into the nuts and bolts. We're reminded that the very deepest realities of God and God's creation are at our disposal, and that also, not only, but we are part of it. I guess what I want to say is, if you don't take anything else from this and my ramblings, but to know that the deepest realities of God and God's creation lie within you too. Not just Paul, not just all the saints that have gone before us, not all the saints from this church that have gone before us, but Christ's love, Christ's endurance, Christ's deepest hope is in every single one of us. And we can know the deepest realities of God if we listen, if we pay attention, if we remember who created us and who loves us so completely. Paul wrote this from prison, as I said, and he went to amazing pains to encourage us. The people at that time, the people through all of the ages since, and the people today that are listening, wherever they're listening to this scripture, we're reminded that Christ is honored above all, that Christ is God's most glorious agent and deserves our worship and our praise and our undying love. Paul reminds us, Christ is in all of us. All has been forgiven, whatever we have done, and all will be well. May we hold on to that today and forever. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.